Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 474, Science Faction, your weekly Corona update. The numbers are as follows for today, August 15th, 2020. Infected worldwide, 21.5 million. Infected in the U.S., 5.5 million. Deaths worldwide, 770,000. U.S., 172,500. So let's get on to the week's Corona news. Interesting article that came out looking at the effects of Corona on other diseases, malaria, TB, and AIDS. And I'm not necessarily talking about comorbid infections, like not like those people had the disease and then they got COVID. No, what I'm talking about is how this disease, how this pandemic, how the world shutting down is actually affecting people who have these other diseases as is. Well, it turns out the effect, especially on those three diseases, is really bad. Why? Well, there's a few reasons. There's supply lines, which are obviously impaired right now, everything from shipping to delivery to everything else. Funding is all now getting diverted towards Corona stuff, and so it is seeing a huge drop off in funding. Support staff is gone because all those people who were out in Kenya giving vaccinations last year are not there this year. Lab availability has essentially been monopolized by COVID, and hospital accessibility is extremely limited. Sometimes, literally, you can't go into the hospitals right now. So all of that is having an effect on people who have chronic diseases like malaria, tuberculosis, and AIDS. We got to think about what's going on with some of these people. So I personally, obviously, those of you guys who've listened, I had some medical issues over quarantine. Now, mine were physical issues. There was literally something physically wrong in my body I had to have surgery on. But I had a lot of issues because I didn't have accessibility to a hospital. I couldn't just go in. I was the first surgery scheduled for when San Diego came out of quarantine, my first urology one at least. So I was the first scheduled person in the OR. And even then, I had to wait like 2.5 weeks to get my surgery. Who knows how long other people had to have waited who were early on in the quarantine or whatnot. That's just for surgery. What if you have to go in to get treatment, to go get some antiretroviral drugs, to go get some kind of treatment done? A lot of times the hospitals, those wings that were non-COVID, non-emergency, were just not even open. So imagine what that does to people who have a disease, which is fine if you maintain it. Something like HIV is fine if you maintain your drug suppression regimen, you maintain everything. But if it gets out of hand a little bit, it can be really bad for a long time. We're already seeing that now, and we're going to see more of that as time goes on. Interestingly, it seems to have a very weird effect on other diseases, things like colds. Right now, some colds we already know are caused by relative coronaviruses, and they might actually imbibe a little bit of protection to people from this. Now, we're not sure about this 100%, but some of the antibody tests suggest that those people who have mild or asymptomatic cases, a lot of them have strong or recent antibodies from a recent infection with a non-COVID coronavirus from a regular cold. So, you know, sometime in December, they got a regular cold. They have those antibodies in their system and they seem to be working well against it. So that's kind of interesting. Like some kind of comorbidity with certain strains of cold viruses might actually protect you from the flu. What about how this is affecting other diseases in terms of its spread? Now, this is really interesting. Let's take the flu. The flu obviously comes by every year, kills a lot of people. I've talked about it on Science Faction for a long time. I think it's something we don't take seriously enough. Kills a lot of people as it comes through every year. Well, what should we expect with this coming flu season? Is it going to be the worst flu seasons we've ever seen because everybody is impaired from COVID and there's no hospital resources and nobody wants to go out and get that vaccine because they want to be out in the public so they don't get it and they get sick anyway and they die? What do we think is going to happen? Well, believe it or not, if the Southern Hemisphere is any indication, we might not have a flu season. Now, we already had flu season end super early here because of COVID, but what we're seeing out of places like New Zealand and Australia and South Africa is that the flu season there, which again, remember, their winter is our summer, so their flu season has already happened, they've already gone through it, it never occurred. They just kept waiting for it to happen, and it literally never did. I think South Africa reported like one person in the hospital from the flu. Now, it could be that people are staying away from the hospital because COVID. That's certainly true. And, you know, it could just be underrepresented and those people are dying at home and we'll figure that out later or something like that. But in reality, what I think is going on is we're all avoiding everybody. we're quarantining ourselves, and that doesn't just kill COVID, it kills the flu too. And if there's nobody for you to pass that flu on to when quarantine starts, and you sit at home and you're miserable and you have the flu and you can't pass it on to anybody, well then fuck, soon enough the flu dies out. Like, if you quarantine well enough, the flu would just completely die out, because it would have nothing to keep supporting it. If everybody in the world stayed inside for 2 weeks, it'd be gone. It seems like that is happening here. Remember, we're dealing with a disease in COVID that is asymptomatic, so that people are walking around and they're just breathing and you're worried about it. Then you're wearing a mask and everything. The flu, you usually have to be symptomatic to spread it. So if anybody's sneezing or coughing or anything anywhere around you, you're running as fast as you can. So nobody's catching the flu. And in the Southern Hemisphere, there was no flu season this year. That's really interesting. What if this is the end of the flu? How amazing would it be if the deaths of COVID, that's the downside, but the upside is if we eliminated flu from circulation in the population. It is very interesting, but I bet the flu will go on, but I bet far fewer people will get it this year. And I think there will be entire strains of coughs and flus and colds and everything that do go extinct because people just aren't in contact for long periods of time. That's really interesting. The same might be true for STDs. STDs like gonorrhea or chlamydia that can be treated with antibiotics, most of the time people can treat those pretty easily. The only reason they spread them usually is because they're infectious before they understand that they have something or know what it is or anything, so they spread it and then they later figure it out and they get it treated themselves. Well, if you're on 3 weeks away from everybody else and you got nobody else to spread it to and you get it treated in time, then all of a sudden you never become a vector for that thing. And even in diseases like herpes, which you get, right, and you have for life once you get it, well, infections are usually worse earlier on in the infection period, meaning the worst outbreaks you have are usually the first few outbreaks that you have. And if you can avoid somebody being next to or near other people when they're in that highly contagious phase, you could actually take out a significant portion of new cases by eliminating the proximity of uninfected people to people with the worst possible outbreaks. So it might be that the silver lining to this coronavirus is that it eliminates or dramatically downgrades cough, cold, and flu season, takes out a bunch of our STDs and whatnot. But keep in mind, it's not all good news. And especially for those sufferers of malaria, TB, or HIV, it might be that this disease is a nail in a coffin, even though the disease that's causing this pandemic isn't the one that's actually going to kill them. All right, article number two, very interesting new article was published out of a place called Aero Labs. And they are using something called nanobodies, which are derived from llamas and camels and other animals. And they're smaller, simpler antibodies. And we studied a bunch of them, but a newly discovered one quickly and effectively binds to that spike protein in SARS-CoV-2 and essentially makes it inert. So this company, Aero Labs, got a hold of this and was like, fuck, let's use this to make an aerosol that has just all these nanobodies in it. And it would work as a nasal spray. So the idea is you spray this into your nose in the morning and then you go about your work. Maybe you're in a dangerous profession. You still wear a mask and everything like that. But anything that then gets into your nose, this cloud of nanobodies in this aerosol in your nose binds to it, covers up that spike protein, which it uses to bind to human cells, and prevents it from infecting you. That's really, really cool. It's like a prophylactic. It's like they used to have like spermicidal lubricant and jelly women would use. It's like that. But for coronavirus, has a lot of really cool advantages, one of which is, you know, we've talked about masks being really effective, but you have to wear them, right? And there are times when the mask comes off or air sneaks in or something happens and it's not on. Well, this would be a more long-lasting direct impact right there in the nose so that, you know, that mask slips off and you breathe some stuff in, you have another barrier and another line of protection. Wouldn't replace masks by any means, but would absolutely add to the safety of using them. Really neat technology, really cool idea, and might be one of those things that help us get by as we still figure out vaccines and whatnot. All right, and lastly, article number four, I wanted to warn you not to throw out your neck gaiters just yet. You guys might see an article that just got a lot of publicity that seems to say you shouldn't wear those thin, like, neck gaiter type UV sun reflectors because it actually makes it worse if you have the virus. Spoiler alert, it doesn't. That's not what the paper says. The paper is actually looking at ways to evaluate masks. It is not an evaluation of the masks themselves. It's also very small and proof of concept. It's not at all what it says. But let's just say what they did say so you can understand why people think that. What they did is they said, okay, let's see how we could evaluate how effective masks are. So we'll have somebody just talking or breathing, and we'll measure how many particles or aerosols come out of their mouth. Then we'll have them cover up with a mask and measure how many. And so if just talking with no mask was a level 1 or 100%, then wearing a mask, you got like less than 1% of those aerosols came out. But wearing one of those gator things, those thin nylon things that stretch up over your face, they said they got 110%. So what does that mean? Does it somehow magnify all the droplets? No. What it in fact did was cut them in half. So as you're spewing out some of those droplets, they're going through and essentially like a sieve getting cut up and making it into smaller particles, which theoretically could hang around in the air longer. So does that mean it's worse? No. The reality is that mask is still absorbing some liquid particles, which is still keeping some of that going out. It's also keeping you from breathing some stuff in. Now, is it the best? No. I wear one of these for work literally every day. I have for 10 years. It's the only reason I don't have skin cancer right now. I've worn one of these long before COVID came around. I still wear them now in addition to an actual mask. And the reason is because they also protect you from the sun. And that's why I wear them in general. I wear them down around my neck and up over my ears and my face. And that's what keeps me from getting sunburned when I'm outside doing 10, 12 hour days out in the sun. That is still needed. So when I go to work now, I will put that on and then just wear a mask separately, wear an N95 type mask separately. So the idea that's gonna make it more dangerous is probably untrue. The reality of the situation is you should not rely on that to be your mask of choice for things going in and out of your face, but it doesn't mean not to wear it, that it's gonna somehow endanger you. Definitely wear it to keep your neck from getting sunburned and to keep you all covered up, but it's probably not the best actual mask for filtering droplets. Again, this study is not definitive. It was not looking at the effectiveness of that mask. It was very small, and it has very little to say about it. So if anyone says those things are dangerous, they have no idea what they're talking about. However, you probably shouldn't rely on them as your primary line of defense. All right, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 474, where you learned all about the effects of corona on other diseases, how Aerolab's new invention might keep us safe even when masks fail, and why you shouldn't go throwing out your neck gaiters just yet. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 475.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.